I'm Dr. Roger Steiner, Chair of Ophthalmology and Director of the Gavin Herbert Eye Institute at the University of California, Irvine. And this is the first of several blogs that I'm going to be doing about the annual meeting of the American Academy of Ophthalmology being held now in Chicago. I had the opportunity to come in early for the 2 days of the refractive subspecialty sessions. On Friday, one of the highlights was a very, very interactive session on the issue of femtosecond cataract surgery, where it was structured almost as a point-counterpoint, and then some audience and panel discussions about the presentation. So the way they set it up was to have a presenter pro and a presenter con on each of the issues of efficacy, safety, and cost. And each of the presenters, I must say, I compliment them for a lot of work that they put into their presentations that were both very detailed and humorous and informative all at once. So it was really a delight sitting through that. There's no expert panel consensus of the three panelists. One was strongly in favor of femto cataract. One was kind of on the fence, and one was, felt that the time yet had not come, which is, I think, largely opinions that were informed by the experience of the panelists prior to the session and their own decisions that they had made from their own practice point of view. However, the audience poll was quite different. And in the audience poll and audience reactions to the presentations, it was very clear that the majority of the audience, and there must have been at least 1,000 people in attendance, do not yet feel compelled to get a femtosecond laser cataract unit, and nor do they feel that they need it. And they seem to all feel that, with a few exceptions, that it would be not cost-effective, especially given the reimbursement structure in the United States, where only a refractive component can be billed for. Now, I did some kind of on-the-street polling of my own, and what seemed to be evident, though, was that surgeons who have made the commitment and have access to a femto unit will use it and like it. And this includes a surgeon who is in a surgery center where she did not have any personal financial exposure or requirement and could use it or not use it, and she really likes it and uses the femtocataract unit on a regular basis. So I think the jury is still out. My personal feeling is that it's very interesting technology, that it's a lot of fun to use, and I think that the thing that is going to make the tipping point on this, though, is going to be the development of lenses, intraocular lenses, that are enabled by this technology, and perhaps could only be used with this technology. That happened with the transition from extracap to phaco, with the introduction of small incision lenses, and I think we'll see it again. But it's going to take a little while because, as we all know, the development and then validation of intraocular lenses does not happen quickly, particularly in the United States. We'll presumably see that sooner out of Europe. Now, that was on Friday. On Saturday, there was a great session structured as a trial, again, with a judge and a jury on the really hot-button issue, I think, of astigmatism correction, and particularly toric intraocular lenses. And this was very thorough and comprehensive. It started with a keynote talk by Doug Koch on the whole issue of the posterior corneal astigmatism in particular, and how we can better measure that rather than just do a standard nomogram adjustment, where you back down on with the rule of astigmatism and you add up on against the rule of astigmatism. Because the problem is that there's a lot of scatter. Those are, on the average, that's true, but there's variability from patient to patient. So the subsequent talks got into various methods of both marking and also intraoperative measurement at the end using wavefront aberrometry. The audience poll and the, I think that the two out of the three of the judges were strongly in favor that if you had to do one device, well, actually, I think all three judges, if you were using just one device, you'd want the wavefront aberrometer. But if you really listen to the presentations and the talks, it was clear is that people really want several things. One is to have the ability to go into the operating room with a pretty good idea of where that lens needs to sit and be oriented in a very precise and user-friendly way. The two current commercial devices that do that in a really straightforward way are the Varian system from Alcon and the Callisto system from Zeiss. And Callisto just received FDA approval to move to a completely markerless system that is integrated with the IOL Master and actually makes your workflow easier and shorter rather than longer. But to then marry that technology with an intraoperative measurement such as the WaveTech Aura or the not yet released but in development Clarity system from Holos. So this is still clearly an area that is in evolution. Also, the topography devices, particularly the Scheimpflug-type scanning or tomography units, in principle should be able to measure the posterior corneal astigmatism and give us true corneal power so that we're not just using an average nomogram. A lot of audience interest in this and enthusiasm in those presentations, and it really was quite informative and beneficial, I think. Toric IOLs and the correction of astigmatism clearly are an area of major interest to surgeons. I had the opportunity to lead one of those break discussions for 50 minutes, and I thought that there might only be a handful of people at my table, and instead we ended up with people about lined up about three deep with all sorts of terrific questions about any number of issues on toric IOLs, getting it right, and also what you do when you're disappointed with the result post-op. I'm Dr. Roger Steiner on behalf of Medscape. Thanks very much for listening to this blog.